I can read the disinformation that's on the internet. Like, you know, in the movie The Matrix, where you see The Matrix and you got all these, you know, symbols and whatever streaming down the screen, and the guys go, you know, once you get used to it, you can see exactly what's going on. I look at disinformation. I read it just the same way you could read Matrix code. But you have to be doing it after a while. Instead of fighting the disinformation, I started following it. Because they have the tools and the resources to find people that are saying things that are genuinely important so that they can destroy them. You defame, distract, destroy. First thing you do is you kill the messenger with any combination of lies, outrageous lies, scandals, truth, doesn't matter, as long as you can taint the integrity and intent of the person who's trying to reveal the information. Once you've done that, then you can kill the message with distraction. You know, conspiracy theories, 9/11, you know. Once you've done that, you know, you get them distracted into that, then you stir up those old hatreds, those old arguments. You can then start playing one against the other, and then it all becomes petty personalities, ego-driven, angry, and the net result is the other people who are just lurking the dialogue, they're the audience, they grow tired of it because there's nothing meaningful for them, and what happens? The entire discussion dies.
Yeah, of course.
What we started doing is we started following their attacks. Who were they going after? Why? And how? And when we did that, we learned more about Planet X than in any other form of research we've done. What we learned as a result of following this disinformation that is flooding the world from out of London is that Planet X is not behind the sun, as Nancy Leader says. That Planet X is not out where people think it is with these hoax addresses on the sky programs, like Wicca Sky and what have you. What they were doing was, with disinformation, remember, you want to deflect attention, you want to distract people, because it's not about being right or wrong. It's irrelevant to disinformation. It is about exhausting people's attention. They have a limited interest span. So what you do is you piddle it away with pointless, just keep them, taking them down rabbit holes, and they're finally going to walk away from the field. And that's what they're doing. So what do? They stampede everybody towards the sun with bogus cell phone photos. We see just hundreds of these bogus cell phone. You know, I took a picture with my cell phone. There's Nibiru right next to the sun. Okay, man, that's an old stunt. And I got to be honest with you, I know it's an old stunt because Disinfo Op placed it on me back in 2003. And I got wise to it back then. With these cheap cell phones, you can create aberrations. You know, you got plastic lenses, you got low resolution cameras. Yeah, and this is basically at that, you know, most cell phones with a camera are good enough to document your auto crash. People were looking at that. And what we found was all these anonymous sources that were sending these things out. And so we'd go to track them. We'd say, let us know what your exact coordinates were, the direction you were facing, the exact model of the phone. And when we'd ask questions with any specificity, especially if we asked them to actually accurately identify themselves, they would disappear like methane in the wind. Boom. What they did was they got everybody racing out with sundog photos, expecting to see Planet X out there by, and so what, then they go to Soho and they're finding aberrations on Soho. Soho, if Planet X is out there and Soho is seeing it, it's not going to see it in one little isolated frame out of thousands of frames taken in a day. You're going to see it and see it and see it and see it and see it. So they go out and they find these one little, you know, a frame where maybe there's a speck of something out there that gets caught up by the camera. And, oh, that's Planet X. It's all nonsense. But there's, and what they're doing is they're saying, this is Planet X. And they're saying, this is a massive object. And it's right next to the sun. And yet the sun is no change. It's doing the same thing as it always done. Mm-hmm. So they took everybody that direction. You know, and eventually, like Lincoln said, you can fool all the people all of the time, you know, or you can fool all the people most of the time, but not all of the time. folks wised up. We started seeing a lot of YouTubers out there going, hey, we're sick of this nonsense. So then they switched direction. They took everybody 180 degrees in the other direction. And they took them out to Orion with Lost Star panels and what have you. I mean, the sky databases are hopelessly corrupted by the elites. Hopelessly corrupted. So they're just, for Planet X, they're useless. All you're going to find there is black squares and things that are just going to take you down rabbit holes. And that's what they did. They took everybody out rabbit holes. Now, let's talk about these two disinformation campaigns. What did they have in common? What do you think? What they both have in common is the ecliptic. By taking people with sundog photos and making them look towards the sun, or actually beyond the sun, they're in the region of the ecliptic. And what they did was they kept everybody's interest on the ecliptic, either to the other side of the sun, which would be a superior conjunction, or they have them way out to the edge of the solar system, again, near the ecliptic. That is important because we have always maintained that this object is approaching from the south. When we look at the disinformation attacks, they always pull attention to the ecliptic and away from the southern skies. Now, a reason why it's easy to get people to do that is most folks don't understand. 90% of all of the astronomical observations made of our solar system are near the ecliptic. In the southern hemisphere, if this object is coming up directly below us, at this time, there's only one place that can have a continuous view: the South Pole. Now, the South Pole telescope is an interesting telescope because they could have done the same research, basic research that they're claiming, in Chile. Heck of a lot cheaper. You know, in order to move, I mean, it was literally like a Berlin airlift effort to get this massive telescope down to the Scott Adamson station. They had to take these specially configured C-130 Hercules airplanes just to carry the dish alone, not all of the other goodies and gadgets and housings and everything, you know, everything else that goes with it. Just the dish alone was 30 flights. They could have trucked it up to a mountain in Chile for a fraction.